Hey, excellent. Oh, you're up next. Okay, great. So we can look on with some of the stuff here. Most of these things are not going to be in the Mishnah Berurah, but at least the basis for some of it will be. Okay, so let's get started. So we are talking today, Bezer Hashem, about basically Ben Eretz Yisrael, who is visiting Chutz Laretz, hopefully just visiting and not staying there. In your case, I'm sure that's true, but in general, hopefully just visiting Chutz Laretz for Yom Tov. What are the halachos that Ben Eretz Yisrael has to be aware of, and how does he conduct himself on Yom Tov Sheni in Chutz Laretz? I actually never gave a shiur on this topic yet. I've looked into it before, but never actually spoke about it. So this is the first chance I had to actually organize some notes about it, which, just tell you, the best place to look for this topic, I cannot give you every single thing today. There's so many interesting details about this. We'll try to cover some of the stuff as much as we can. As if you have questions, obviously you should ask about them along the way. But the best sefer to have, which deals with this, if you're familiar with it, is Yom Tov Sheni Kilchaso. Have you heard of it?
It's in English, right?
It's both. The Hebrew's better, I think. The English, I don't know if he translated everything or if they left out all the footnotes. So you can use it, but the Hebrew is even better. You can get it in pharma stores now. They sell it in most of the regular pharma stores, as far as I know. I have it at home, but I forgot to bring it, unfortunately. This is written by a guy named Rabbi Yerachmiel Fried, who learned here in Eretz Yisrael for many years, and he did something. I think he taught here for a while in the Mir. I don't know what. He was close with the Rosh Lozan Orbach for a while. He's American, originally. And I think now, for many years, and I think he still is, the Rosh Kol in Dallas. Dallas, of all places. Interesting. Again, I don't know if he's still there, but I think he still is. Of whatever, you know, Torah Masorah Kol exists in Dallas. So yeah, I'm sure you could, like, call him or email. I don't know if he has email, but you could reach him if you had any questions about it. But the Sefer is, like, a regular, really good Sefer with a lot of Pesach Halacha from Post Kei Zman Einu, and it deals with almost every single issue that comes up in all the directions, meaning Yom Tov Sheni in general, Yom Tov Sheni for a Ben Chutz Laretz here in Eretz Yisrael, and Yom Tov Sheni for Ben Eretz Yisrael in Chutz Laretz. And it's so detailed, like, every single point and every single issue with all the Gedolei HaPoskim that he asked, you know, what they say about it. Interestingly enough, I guess I got asked a few questions this week about this issue. One from somebody in my community had some issues, which we'll talk about in terms of making Havdalah. And then another former student of mine who's from Holland, one of the girls' schools, so she made Aliyah, and she didn't even realize it's a question. She just happened to mention in an email about something else, a different question she had. She happens to mention she's going back to Holland and keeping 2 days. And I was like, maybe you shouldn't do that. I had to explain to her, like, well, there's a whole discussion here. I said, if you want to know more about it, let me know. And she's like, yeah, if you could tell me everything that I need to know about how to do it right. I said, okay, I'm going to have to write a 5-page email now. And now that I wrote the shiur I spent the last hour
doing the shiur,
so I'll send her the recording or the rest of the notes here, and we'll see again whatever we get to. Okay, let's start at the beginning. Okay, what is the halacha in terms of a Ben Eretz Yisrael who is going to Chutz Laretz? What do they keep? What do they not keep? So in the actual sugya, believe it or not, there's actually more makaros about this than there are in the other direction. Meaning, everybody talks about what happens for somebody from Chutz Laretz who's visiting here in Eretz Yisrael, and there's a discussion about it, and all what is said about it. You know the different opinions about it, but a lot of it is based on like achronim that are trying to derive from different sources. In the Gemara and Rishonim, in the Shulchan Aruch, it's not so clear. There's a Beis Yosef, if you're familiar, Abkas Rochel has a tshuva about keeping 2 days here. But what's interesting is going the other direction, there's actually more of makoros about it, meaning if you're visiting from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laretz, it's actually based on a sugya in the Gemara, and actually some Rishonim about it, which we're not going to go into in detail here. I'm just going to try to give you the bottom line. But I'll read in the Shulchan Aruch what the Shulchan Aruch says about it, and you can see where it comes from, at least in brief. And we have to discuss how far this goes. So it's in Siman Tav Tzadi Vav, Siv Gimel. Simon Tav Tzadi Vav is the beginning of Hilchos Yom Tov. Okay, the first halacha, which we're not going to read, but I'll just summarize at least the first line. He basically says in Chutz Laretz we keep 2 days of galus, and he goes through the background of misafik and etc. Whatever the story is. So in Siv Gimel, this is where he talks about our issue. Okay, you have it. If you want to look, you have it. Okay. So he says, "B'nei Eretz Yisrael shabo l'chutz laretz." Okay, if you have B'nei Eretz Yisrael that went to Chutz Laretz, okay, meaning they're traveling to Chutz Laretz. So what's the halacha? What do they do about Yom Tov? So he says, "Asurim la'asos malacha b'Yom Tov Sheni." They're not allowed to do malacha on Yom Tov Sheni. B'yishuv in the yishuv, meaning in the community, afilu dat halachzor, even if they plan on going back. Okay, meaning even if they're planning on visiting, they're visiting, which is our discussion now. They're visiting. You cannot do malacha when you are in the actual Jewish community, where the Jews live. We'll just read the rest of it, though. I'm not going to focus on the rest of it, but just so you saw it. V'cholzman shloi gyel ha'yishuv, as long as you did not get to the yishuv, avila yindat olas or mutter. Even if you do not plan on going back, it's mutter. Meaning, let's say you plan on staying in Chutz Laretz, which again, in those days was much more common. They didn't just fly in and fly out. They took a 6-month trip to, to England, to France from Israel, and they're probably going to stay there for a little while. So in that situation, before you get to the Jewish community, even if you plan on staying there for a long time, or even permanently, until you get to the Jewish community, you're allowed to be mekel, to do malacha on Yom Tov Sheni. Mutter. Lefisha adayim lehupa lios kmosan. Because you have not established your status yet as a ben chutz la'aretz until you get to the actual Jewish yeshuv. But if you got to the Jewish yeshuv and you plan on staying there, I mean, you don't plan on going back to Eretz Yisrael, nasa kamosan, then after that point, then you become like a true ben chutz laretz, and then afterwards you're usher everywhere. Usher bein or bein ba'yishuv. After that point, you can't do malach anywhere in chutz laretz. And anywhere outside of the tchum, meaning anywhere outside of the tchum of the yeshuv, of the Jewish area, we do not give you the chumras of the place that you go to. Meaning basically what he's saying is that the whole issue of chutz ben, you know, being machmer malacha in chutz laretz is only true in a Jewish yeshuv. Okay, now this, I don't think we're going to get into this now because I don't know if this is relevant for any of you guys, but this is a tremendous question. How do you deal with this? Halacha l'maaseh, how do you deal with this? Meaning people that are, let's say, flying. It's a whole shaila. Can you fly on Yom Tov Sheni? Meaning, let's say you leave here, Yom Tov, let's say Yom Tov Rishon, you fly, you land in, let's say, America, for example, or anywhere, really, on Yom Tov Sheni. Can you do that, number one? And even if you can do that, can you leave the airport? Can you go into the Jewish area? Can you go from the airport? So, Pashup Shai, again, there's a lot of discussion about this, which I'm not going to get into now. If you want to see it, in Yom Tov Sheni Kilchasa, he brings down a big machlokus about this. And here in this Mishnah Berurah, the Dirshu Mishnah Berurah also, he brings down a bunch of the shitas about this point. Mishnah Lozalman, or Ben Sion Abba Shaul, the Sfardi Rav, and a few others that talk about this. Rebel Yashiv. Mikra Din, basically, again, without getting into the details, based on the Shulchan Aruch here, Mikra Din should be that you just can't go into the Jewish area. I mean, wherever the Jewish community is, you can't go. And that's it. But outside of the Jewish community, it seems like you can do what you want. Problem they talk about is, well, maybe there's not from Jews in the airport, maybe there's this, and somebody's going to see you and not realize, they're going to think that Jews can, there's no such thing as Yom Tov Sheni, all sorts of different concerns that might take place, which is why they're a little bit concerned about it. But Mikra Din, it seems like probably you can stay in the airport, but maybe you shouldn't leave the airport. Okay, and certainly not go into the Jewish community. What about places that don't have Jewish community? So then you have discussions, well, maybe there's some Reform Jews there, maybe somebody else is going to see you, who knows, you know. So that's why, in general, we try to be machmir about it. But Mikra Din, if you go to some faraway place where you know there's no Jews, then Mikra Din, you probably could do malacha. Okay, and the question is, again, places where there might be other non-affiliated Jews, that's a whole discussion, which I don't think we're going to get into now, because I don't know if it's relevant for you guys. If you want to talk about it afterwards, we can. But again, a very, very fascinating question. For more information, again, look at Yom Tov Sheni Kilchasa, and this source here in the Dirshu Mishnah Berurah. Okay, so based on that, what do we see clearly for now? Okay, in terms of Ben Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laretz, what do we see clearly you cannot do in the Jewish Yeshuv? You can't do
malacha,
right? That's very, very clear. Okay, I assume that you guys know already, right?
Yeah.
I hope. If not, it's a big surprise, right? Okay, that you definitely cannot do. Question is, how far does it go? This is not so... Well, let's say it this way. This question, let me explain what I mean first. All it says, you can't do malacha, but what about the point of keeping 2 days? Maybe when they talk about, should I keep 2 days or not keep 2 days? What do they mean by that?
It's assessment.
Okay, so meaning basically, do you really keep Yom Tov Sheni, that you have to say all the brachas, and you have to go to shul, and you have to eat matzah if it's a second seder, etc., all those kind of things. Do all those things apply to a Ben Eretz Yisrael? Meaning the Shulchan Aruch only talks about malacha. The question is, what about the rest of it? So, you guys want to give your answers, or you know, should I just talk?
Go for it.
Go for it? Okay, yeah, I'd love to get some discussion here, but I don't know if there's time. Right. Okay, good. Good answer.
Okay, can I add a question to the table?
Yeah, sure.
What if there's something that your minhag is to be machmiran?
Okay.
And other people in the community would be mekelon. Could you do that?
What type of thing are we talking about? Like what kind of issue?
Taking a shower on Yom Tov.
That's a good question. All right, so we'll bring it up again later. It depends. One could argue that if there are people in the community that some people are mekel, then one could argue that it's probably mutter. If everybody in the community is machmir about it, I don't have to, you have to figure out how to define this. I'm just saying in principle. So that's the general issue that we're going to talk about in just a second here, which is basically minhag ha-makom. If minhag ha-makom is l'chumra, then you should be machmir also. Okay, but if you know that some people in the community do take showers on Yom Tov Sheni because of all the different factors, the whole discussion about it. Maybe there's room to be makil about it. So then probably you could be makil. Okay, even if your family, let's say, doesn't. But if other people do, if it's not the, you know, the strangest thing in the world, so there probably is room to be makil. How do you define that you have to figure out? Meaning it's complicated these days to know what a minhag ha-makom is. You know, how do you know who in Chicago, you know? Let's say in the more...
Take a survey.
Yeah, exactly, right. Talk about, there's so many places, you know? Let's say so you guys are so. I don't know what to say. I mean, against Skokie, I would assume for sure that you could be in bed there or something. What? I'm sorry, but you're going to be...
He's honorary Chicago.
You're right.
He's honorary
Chicago. You're honorary Chicago, sorry.
You're honorary out of town.
I
actually normally been in Chicago. This year I'm in London.
Oh, you're in London. Oh, wow.
In-laws.
Wow, in-laws. You have us now. You got to make them happy, right? So be careful. Don't do anything they wouldn't want you to do. Right? Be careful. If they smell the fire that you make on Yom Tov Sheni, you're in big trouble. Okay, so it's hard to say what Ben Hagga was. I would say in most places, if there are some very modern people there, or people that are, you know, have a modern rav who you know, might allow it, there may be some room to allow it.
Our especially if allows it.
Really?
That's what I heard.
Wow. Okay, so you got to confirm
that.
Don't
repeat that around.
I would like to confirm that.
I know that actually. According to him, you can take a shower then.
Someone told me that on Rosh Hashanah as we were walking up from
3-day Rosh Hashanah.
It depended on a whole bunch of factors of how the dude works.
Exactly right. So there's a few factors that it depends on. Let's come back to your question in a few minutes, okay? It could be that there's room to allow it. Okay, it definitely could be room to allow it. Let's come back to it. Okay. What's the issue all based on? So again, this Shulchan Aruch is based on, if you look at the Be'er HaGolah here, I'm not going to go backwards because I don't have the base Yosef in front of me and it would take too long, but basically this came from a sefer called the Or Chos Chaim, which is one of the Rishonim you may be familiar with, or of Aaron Milunil, and he got it from an interesting story in the Gemara in Chulin of Kuf Yud, which is mentioned here in the Be'er HaGolah. And I believe there's also a parallel Gemara in Pesachim, if I'm not mistaken. I think it's on Daf Nun Aleph, maybe somewhere around there, on the parallel Gemara, which basically seems to talk about this type of question, which is that if you're going somewhere, okay, so basically you're supposed to be machmir for the minhagim of the place that you're going. Meaning, if the place where you're going, everybody's machmir about a certain halacha, which in one case in Chulin I think was a different discussion, and in Pesach it sort of seems to talk about maybe Yom Tov Sheni. Again, maybe not exactly this case, but something similar about Yom Tov Sheni. If we had more time, we had another hour, we would go through the Gemara carefully with the Rishonim. Interesting Rishonim there also. I think there's a Ramban and a Balamor, if I remember correctly. Anyway, the bottom line seems to be that sugya teaches you that if you're in a place where the minhag is X, let's say it's L'chumra, and your minhag is Y, which let's say is L'kula, which is our case here. You're Mekel because you're from Eretz Yisrael, and they're Machmer because they're in Chutz Laretz. You got to be Machmer like the place that you go. And that, if you look at the Mishnah Berurah, he summarizes this very nicely. Sif Katan Tes in the Mishnah Berurah, he basically says it in like one line. Asur Lasos Malacha, why? Zinostin Allah of Chumre Makom Shahalach L'Sham. It will give you the Chumras of the place that you go. Meaning basically, if the place that you're going is more Machmir, then you have to be Machmir like the Minog of the place there, Minog of Makom, and you can't be Makil, even though your Minog from where you come from is to be more Makil. Again, there's a lot of discussion about this point in general and how it applies to Yom Tov, etc., etc. But certainly here in terms of Malacha, it's clear
and
that should apply.
Betina,
we'll get back to that in a few minutes. Oh, right, okay. Feel it's in Asur. Okay, that's going to be another 20 minutes, probably. Hopefully enough time for it. But anyway, basically, based on this, so we say that it's Asur to do Malacha. So that's the whole discussion in the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch, that Malacha is Asur because of this concept of Minhag HaMakom Sheyatzeh L'Sham. If that's the concept, the question is, should that apply to making brachas and davening and all the other things that apply to Yom Tov Sheni? Yeah, because of this Minhag HaMakom business, the chumrah of Minhag HaMakom of where you're going. So based on that, should that reason apply to lead you to say that you should say all the brachas of Yom Tov Sheni and have to keep a second seder and go to shul and to, you know, make kiddush and all the make havdalah and all the other things like that? Does the logic apply in those cases? Does it make sense? What would you say? If you thought about it for a second?
Yeah.
Why?
Because
be careful. What does chumrah mean?
Oh, that not necessarily doing nazeh, but be machmer for the
malacha. That's right, exactly. So the chumrah here is that you're not doing malacha. It's the isra of doing malacha. For you is a chumrah, meaning you make or din it's mutter, but the minhag over there of Yom Tov Sheni, which again might be a halacha, but it's also partially a minhag. This is again another discussion, not for now. There's a discussion whether Yom Tov Sheni is a getter of a minhag or a halacha, like an isra drabbanan or a very chumrah isra drabbanan. At least it's a minhag, and certainly it's basically, in this case, it's going to be a minhag hamakom for you, which is usur. However, that should not necessarily dictate that you should make all the brachas of Yom Tov Sheni and have to keep a second seder and kiddush and all those kind of things. Okay, it doesn't necessarily mean that at all. It's a minhag hamakom, which you're machmir, not do malacha. That's what the Pashup Shad is based on the Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Berurah and most of the poskim here. And that's what they all say, okay? Almost all the poskim say that you should not be keeping 2 days. Okay, you keep 1 day, but you're machmir and isha malacha because of the minhag HaMakom, as we just saw. Okay, that's what almost all the poskim say, halacha l'maisa. there may be one or two minority opinions that say maybe you should. Okay, I'll just tell you what they are, though again, I did not have a chance to research this point more than just thinking about it in my head. So I'll just tell you what I remember. I have notes on this. Rabbi Rakefet, if you know who he is, from YU, from Gris. You heard of him, Rabbi Aaron Rakefet? You never heard of him. He's a big Talmud of Rosh Halavichik, and he likes to talk about all these kinds of stuff. So I actually, we had a share with him when I was in the Gris Kolel. He spent the whole semester talking about Yom Tov Sheni, basically. So he gave us some of these Maror Makomos, and I'm sure he has, you know, recordings on YU Torah that you can listen to about it, I would guess. So he said that Rav Soloveitchik apparently held that you keep two full days if you go to Chutz Laretz. Why is that? So he said basically because Rav Soloveitchik felt that it's a din in the Makom, meaning he felt it's not a question of the Shulchan Aruch is saying it's like Minog HaMakom, and if you come from Eretz Yisrael, your Minog is to keep one day, but you have to be Machmir because Minog HaMakom there is to keep 2 days. Rav Soloveitchik apparently felt that it's based on a din of the Makom, meaning that wherever you are, that's what you keep. If you're in Eretz Yisrael, you have a din of one day. And if you're in Chutz Laretz, then you have a din of 2 days. It depends on where you are. So that's it. Yeah. Oh, one second. So that's the second thing. Right. Oh, where's Adam? Right? I didn't see him this afternoon.
He went to go take the Tanya test.
I see.
And the only place they're offering it today is in Beit El.
Oh my gosh.
And everyone, the rest really are funny. Being offered on Thursday, so he had to go to there.
I see.
And it's fire.
Very interesting. Okay, so ask him about this point. So from what I remember, again, I did not actually look this up again. I believe there's a stira on the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, okay, the Baal HaTanya. I think in Siman Tav Tzad Yivav, in these halachos, I believe he follows the Shulchan Aruch here, and I believe he just says that you keep one day, but you're machmer melach. Again, I may be wrong about this. I have notes on this somewhere else. I did not have a chance to look it up now. I think that's what he says here. However, there's another place where the Baal HaTanya says, you might, by the time you look it up. There's a stira, though. I think it's in Siman Ches, in like Or HaChaim, at the very beginning of Shulchan Aruch. I believe he says there something along the lines of that there's like special ha'aras, like hey aleph resh hey, like idea, you know, special, you know, powers or forces that come down from Shemayim, and in Eretz Yisrael the forces come down, the koach comes down on Yom Tov Rishon only, and Chutz Laretz the ha'aras come from Shemayim on the second day as well. And based on that, it seems like maybe what he's trying to get at is that if you're in Chutz Laretz, even if you come from Eretz Yisrael, you should keep two full days in Chutz Laretz because of the ha'aras and whatever other forces are going on there, they're relevant to you as well. So based on that, so I remember Rakevet spoke about this, and I don't remember exactly what he said. I think there may have been a question what Chabad should do in these types of situations. I think when they come to visit Eretz Yisrael, I think maybe they keep one day. I might be wrong about that.
But in a lot, they only keep two. They keep two.
That's the difference. So that I can tell you about, because my brother wants to live in a lot. So that I know. That I know all about. Yeah, they definitely keep 2 days.
Oh, yeah, you came in when we were in Shanah, if you came down to a lot.
That's right, yeah. So there they keep 2 days. They're you remember that, very good. They're machmir around 2 days in a lot for Chabad. But the question is, if you're from Eretz Yisrael, you go to Chutz Laretz, what do they hold? To be honest, I don't remember. I don't know. You have to find out. So if you want to ask Adam or find out some other way, we can find out. But again, this one Maror Makom, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, the steerer one, but the second one, it's in Ches, I think it's somewhere around there. He seems to say that it's that it does apply for anybody in Chutz Laretz. So that would be that. But other than those two, Soloveitchik and maybe the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. Oh no! I think almost everybody says that you should keep one day only with Machmir Malacha. What about the Chacham Tzvi? So again, without getting into the whole discussion here, if you remember the whole thing with the Chacham Tzvi, he's the one who says to keep, of course, one day here in Israel if you're visiting, right? Mm. Meaning if you're visiting from Chutz Laretz and you come to Eretz Yisrael, the Chacham Tzvi is the one who says to keep one day, and that's what slowly many people have begun to follow here. Maybe not so slowly.
Rav Soloveitchik would have said 2 days here also.
Rav Soloveitchik here said 1.5 days. I mean, he said be Machmir Malacha. Keep one day, but be machmir malacha because he's not sure. Because just in case, the rest of the Rishonim are right. So, but I think the Chacham Tzvi's considerations don't apply in the other direction. This is what I thought on my own, but again, I haven't had a chance to really look into this so much. The Chacham Tzvi's whole idea of keeping in Eretz Yisrael, again, without getting into the details here, it's a little bit complicated. But basically, what he says is that the whole concept of minhag and makom that we said is only true if you could continue your minhag if you would actually stay here and live here. Meaning, you could be machmir on your minhag based on either where you're going or where you come from, if you could continue the minhag if you would stay there. I mean, what he's talking about is the Yom Tov Sheni. If you kept Yom Tov Sheni here in Eretz Yisrael, if you made Aliyah, he says, well, if you were allowed to do that, then you could keep Yom Tov Sheni when you come to visit. But he says, you can't do that. It's not allowed, because it's Baal Tosif.
It's if you
could.
It's if you could keep it if you were to have stayed there.
Yeah, I mean, any minhag which you could keep if you wanted to, if you would move to a place, if you wanted to be machmir and keep a more stringent minhag, even if people in the place are more makil, if you're allowed to be machmir and keep a stringent minhag, then you could do it if you're visiting as well. That's usually the case for most minhagim. But Yom Tov Sheni is different, because Yom Tov Sheni, if you could be Yom Tov Sheni in Eretz Yisrael when you're not supposed to, if you live here, that's Baal Tosif. You added a day of Yom Tov, you're not allowed to do that. You can like be machmir and malacha, but to actually say it's Yom Tov and make brachas is mamash Baal Tosif and bracha levatol and all that kind of stuff. So that's why he says keep one day if you're visiting here, because if you're visiting, it's the same thing as if you would live here. Okay, if you would live here, if you can't keep the minhag, then if you're visiting also, it's not a minhag that's based on where you come from, it's based on the halacha of where you are. It's based on makam.
So as in the chumrah of the samalacha then?
Oh,
that would be
Tantosif,
right?
He says the whole thing of minhag makam doesn't apply in this situation. Because if you lived here, it wouldn't apply. So therefore, if you're visiting also, it's the same thing. Again, yeah, it's more complicated. You're right. It's tricky. You have to read through it very carefully and think about it for a while. But basically, for our purposes right now, the question is, does that logic apply at all in the other direction? And I think the answer is no. The whole issue of minhag makam of living there and Baal Tosif, I guess the Baal Tosif question specifically, there's no Baal Tosif issue of going into Chutz Laretz, okay? Meaning, if you're there, the question would be whether you should keep 2 days, but there's no Baal Tosif of keeping 1 day. Like, the whole point doesn't apply. The whole idea of, if you... What you do there doesn't apply. What did you say?
Wouldn't it be top Baal Tosif just keeping one?
But you don't have to keep 2. Meaning, from where you come from, what he basically would be saying is that if you wanted to be machmer, you're minhag in Chutz Laretz, you'd be machmer to keep 1 day. Which means you're not making brachas. Okay, fine, but you can still do malacha. The whole concept of Baal Tosif doesn't apply in the same way the Baal Tosif would be should you keep 2 days. But the whole concept of why he says that you should keep 1 day in Eretz Yisrael, I don't think would lead to the conclusion that you should keep 2 days in Chutz Laretz. Again, it has to be fleshed out more. It's not so simple. But probably, I would guess that probably the Chacham Tzvi would not say that. So the bottom line is what almost all posts can say, and this is what they say in Yotav Shein Kilchaso and everywhere else, is that you keep 1 day in Chutz Laretz, but you got to be machmer malacha. Okay? So that's what we're up to. Now, what do we do now? So basically, let's figure out what in the world are the Gdarim of Melacha. This is a little bit complicated. Let's see where we can go with this. So the first question is, what is the Halacha about Befarhesya versus Bitsina? Okay, this is really the main question. Befarhesya, everybody agrees that you can't do Melacha. Okay, that's clear. Okay, Chumra Makam Shayatza, if you're Minag Makam, you can't be... Mekil, if the minhag makom is to keep Yom Tov Shein, you can't go out in public and start driving a car in the Jewish community. Okay, so I'll tell you, it was my brother told me this once. Not Rafi, the other one who's older, who lives in Old Shvut. So he went back once to visit his family in Five Towns. So they got a psak from somebody, I don't remember who, but basically they, I don't mind this psak, but whoever they had spoken to, said maybe there's room to say. Well, they wanted to go on vacation, So they went out. So if you guys know Long Island, you're not from New York. You're from New York. Long Island. So they wanted to go out, all the way to the end of Long Island, like Long Island Sound, all the way to the end. It's like 2-hour drive from the Five Towns, like the end of Long Island. So I think they got a psak. They were discussing this. Maybe if they leave like 5 o'clock in the morning when people aren't awake yet, they could drive and get out there while nobody's around, and they'll come back at night when it's already Yom Tov is over. So.
I see the car's gone, though.
What'd you say?
I see the car.
So I wasn't very happy at that psak at all.
It's in a garage.
Right, so that's right. The chutzlar, they have garages, right? You didn't realize? Forgot already. Anyway, so again, everybody agrees that in normal case of bitsina, it's usur. Okay? Why is that? So if you look here, back in the Mishnah Berurah that I cut off, I stopped before.
Sorry, everyone agrees in public.
Let me explain. No. I'm sorry. Let's say it like this. Farhesha is definitely usur. Okay? Farhesha for sure is usur. The question is it usur bitsina? If you're in private, is it also usur to do malacha? If there are not other people around, is that also included in the minhag makom? And I'll get back to my brother's case in a second. So if you look back at the Mishnah Berurah, which I cut off before, look at the rest of the next line, where he says shenos den alav chumrei makom shalach l'sham, and then he says va'afilu b'tzina aser, b'tzina it's also aser. That's what most achronim say. If you look at the Shaar HaTzion, the Taz maybe disagrees, but the most posts can hold that even b'tzina it's aser. Meaning normal case of minhag makom is that even if you're in the makom, okay, even if you're in private. The question is, the halacha is you still can't do anything that you couldn't do in public. Why is that? So the answer is, there are choshesh that maybe somebody will see you. Okay? That's what it's based on. Sugya in Psachim, the same Sugya in Daf Nun Aleph, and better, somewhere around there. There's also a Tosfos about it. I think it's in Psachim, maybe also in Moed Katan, that it says Mefurash, that if Minhag Makom is Lahachmir, then even if it's Bitsina, you should be Machmir. Even if it's in private, because people might see you, you think nobody's going to see you, but really somebody will see you, even if you think it's private, etc., etc., etc. So many poskim in Yom Tov Shein Kilchasa, which falls on Orbach and Avayash, and many, many other poskim basically say in most situations that it would come up, even if it's Bitsina, meaning even if it's you're in the house, even if your door is closed to whatever room you're in, you probably should be Machmir, you shouldn't do Malacha. Okay? That's what most of the poskim say. Dan Katz wasn't sure if you guys were familiar with that psak, but he was afraid that you guys wouldn't know that and you'd be scared. When you heard that, you'd be like, oh my gosh, I can't deal with this. I wasn't so sure. I was like, well, maybe they know that already, or it's not such a crazy thing. Not so hard. And I would just tell you, based on that, it's just you never know what's going to happen. And even if they don't find out, still, if they hear, if they understand, if they know that you might be doing something in private, or they even have a concern that maybe you are, it creates a certain zilzul yom tov. And this is, by the way, part of a concern that Rosh Hashanah Orbach talks about. There's a concept of zilzul yom tov. Okay? Zilzul yom tov sheni as well. And the problem is, once, even if you say nobody will find out, but if they like suspect that maybe, or they know or something, you know, even if they don't actually see or can't, there's no evidence. But the minute that people in Chutzlars think that somebody from Eretz Yisrael is doing Malach on Yom Tov Sheni, you know what that does in their minds?
They want to see it.
Okay, either they want to see it. Even more than that.
Or that this isn't like, it's just, we're in Chutzlars, so...
Yeah, okay, fine. So they did it, fine. Eretz Yisrael, they do it. But then it becomes, well, if they could do it, maybe, I don't know if I would do it, but maybe it's not the most important thing. Maybe it's not, so what's the big deal? Why is Yom Tov Sheni such a, why do we have to keep it anymore? You know, we have this whole thing with the calendar was over 2,000 years ago. So they're still going to do it. They're not going to do Malacha. They're going to go to Shul. But maybe if something comes up that's a little bit of a question, well, it's Yom Tov Sheni anyway. Just be naked without asking any questions. You know how it is. You know? You understand? So if you ask me, I would say, again, you don't have to, I don't know if this is completely Nikar Hadin, but I think it's logical. You should be Machmer Kor. No chashash whatsoever. Don't do anything. If there's any chashash at all, even if you think there's no chance nobody's ever going to find out, don't do it.
Wait,
it's just not worth it.
People can do Malacha.
Excuse me?
There's an idea that some people like, it's okay to do Malacha, but it's in everything.
Okay, tell me who. This is the first question. I want to get quoted opinion.
I've seen a rabbi. I heard of a rabbi.
Can they be quoted, or?
I want to see which rabbi, because I don't know if it's a problem.
I saw one of him in Pnei Halacha, but he said nobody passes it.
Okay, so I didn't look at Pnei Halacha. If you know what he says there.
Obviously, everyone says, oh, we're only keeping one day, and if it's nighttime, they'll drive, or like...
So that's the problem. Okay, so this is the thing. Okay, so you don't have to... You want to get it now? I guess you can.
I got to
wait, or... Okay. So again, the halacha is like this. Okay, so you have the number. You have the taz. If you look at the taz here, so the taz does say maybe it's sinah. The whole discussion of minav makom doesn't apply to sinah. But again, most poskim disagree, and that's what the Mishnah Berurah poskins here that sinah is aser. The question is like this. Okay, this is they talk about this here in the Dirshu Mishnah Berurah, and the Yom Tov Sheni Kalchasa also has this possible tzad. I'll tell you what they say, at least sort of. Okay, they say that for some issues of chashad is suspicion. It's not exactly maris ayin. Most issues we deal with that are like these kind of questions that somebody might see was in the category of what's called chashad. Okay, so there are discussions in Hilchos Shabbos, which we haven't discussed at all, but there are discussions in Hilchos Shabbos. And I see the Maror Kamos, he quotes it here in Mishnah Berurah and Simon Shin Aleph, Sivkatan Kuf Samchei, and Ber Halacha, Simon Shin Lamed Vav, Siv Tes. They talk about this possibility that maybe if it's Bitsinan, it's only Nisr Darabanan or something like that. So maybe for Nisr Darabanan, which by the way, driving a car is not, and that's Nisr Daraisa. Maybe for Nisr Darabanan, maybe you could be Makil, because it's been private and whatever. So I follow, if you ask me, I follow Yom Shalom Zalman Orbach. And Yom Shalom Zalman says in Yom Tov Sheni Kalchaso, basically Yom Tov Sheni is more chamor. Why is that? Because of the fact that Chazal made Yom Tov Sheni kemo Isur Torah, because we don't want people to be mezalzel Yom Tov Sheni. Okay? So in my mind, that's more important than all the kulas. I mean, even if you could say, yes, maybe we can make it because it's in private, maybe it's an Isur Drabbanon, we'll get to another issue that you're maybe talking about in a second that really nobody will ever know about it. But in my mind, it's not... Zilzul Yom Tov is such a serious issue, and the concern that might happen in Chutzlaritz is, I think, greater than some postman Eretz Yisrael realize. I don't know. Again, I'm not sure. I don't want to talk about anybody, so I can't say. But in my mind, coming from Chutzlaritz, maybe you guys would agree, or maybe not. You could argue if you want. I think that people, again, if people know, and the minute that it becomes part of the culture, they say, oh, he's from Eretz Yisrael, he could do Malacha. It starts scraping out your neshama.
Yeah, they start coming to you. Oh,
someone has turned on the light.
Exactly, right. It's just a little bit.
Like, you know, I thought last year I went sukkahs after I made Aliyah. So like, oh, so can you say? I'm like, no. It's like you're useless. I'm like, yeah.
Right. So again, I wasn't going to get into that here. But that's
just another Kevin Kiddush
movie. You're useless, right? Thanks a lot. Go back to Israel. Don't come here, right? I don't remember where it talks about here. They discuss this a little bit. I think most poskim hold that it's usher. I mean, Amira Lili Yisrael in that situation is just as usher as Amira Lagoy.
The question is, if something does come up with a chas v'shalom, like a case, should you get
it? That's a question, right. So I mean, if there's a chashash that maybe you have to make one because it's a chas of the chak, like a chola, like an illness or something like that, so I think it's a machlokas whether they say that it's better for you to be make one than somebody in chutz laretz. I think that's a machlokas. I remember correctly. I didn't have a chance to look. I'm not sure. I have to look here. Yeah, that's right. I have to look here. Here we go. I have to look. There's a lot of stuff. I don't have to just look at everything here.
Because for someone in Alice.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, sorry on this point. I believe that it's machlokas. Whether Ming. In a case where, let's say, somebody from Chutzlars also could have asked the Goy or Maker, then really, if it was like an emergency, that he also could make a call to an ambulance or something like that, it's better that you do it. I think it's machlokas. And then some say maybe it is better that you do it because, you know, the more lenient the answer, the better it is. And some say, well, no, if it's mutter for him, then he should just do it. It's not really, it doesn't matter if he
do it
or not.
I think it would just still cause those little bits.
So, in Chum, you're right. So it's not so clear. And this also relates to the question we talked about Pikuach Nefesh, about the issue there in general. Do you ask a regular Jew to do it, or is it better to ask a Goy, and that whole discussion? In my mind, I think anything which causes, you know, I think anything which causes Zilzul, again, just tell them, say, oh, well, they're doing it, so I'll ask them. I won't ask, but like, it just takes away some of the severity and the importance of Yom Tov Sheni in their minds. Not everybody, not all the time, but little by little, the more that they hear about it, the more that they, even a family member that knows that you are, but they know that you're doing it, it just creates a certain rosh of the Nishan, which I think is very bad. I think it's not a good idea.
Like putting tefillin on, is that a problem?
We'll get to that if we have time. Maybe I'll stay a little later today. If you guys are willing to stay a little longer today, we can try to stay a little longer and see what else we can do here. Okay. Let's go back to this point. We lost Alex, unfortunately. I don't know where he went. Oh, I thought he went to go get a safer. I guess not. Okay. Anyway, no, it could be here. It could be right. Anyway, so that's the story with Zilzul. The discussion they have here, the additional discussion is the following. If you're sure, if you're really sure that nobody's going to see, and you're really sure nobody's going to find out, okay, what's the halacha? So let me just be mocking this for a second. I personally do not think that this would be relevant in a case where you're like just at home and, you know, let's take this. If everybody's home, if you close your door, for sure you should be knocking, because then you never know. Even if, oh, well, your door's closed, even if the door's locked, but let's say somebody knocks on the door, they want to come in, and they realize what you're doing, even if you don't actually say anything and they can't hear you. I think that's a problem, and I think that's something which they could find out. The question would really be, I guess what you're saying, is the case where, let's say everybody's at shul and you're at home. In that case, let's say nobody's ever going to find out you did anything.
Or?
Right.
I thought about this one. It's like not that practical. It doesn't really matter so much, but I think it's a good one. If someone's in the shower, let's say you're in a house or in a place where it's normal, whatever it is.
Okay.
And so instead of just pouring the shampoo on your head, to actually put it in. So it's in the shower, door's locked, the bathroom, nobody's walking
putting
in.
Putting shampoo in might be okay. The shower is to squeeze it afterwards, though.
I always thought you had to pour it on your head before and then just let it go. Otherwise,
you're saying, oh, because of
skin. It's
not a problem of memory. I think the problem is just to squeeze it out afterwards as a shower, but if you don't really squeeze it out.
I'm
shaving
like
that's
right.
No
one
can find out
about
that.
That's a good question. Okay. So let's go back to it. It could be that's mutter. Maybe. Let's see here. Okay. Let's go through this. Let's see if we can go point by point here, so we can get it.
Yeah.
So in that case, many poskim still assert. Okay, Eliashiv and I think Rishon Zalman also many of those cases basically still say that because of Zilzul Yom Tov Sheni, you shouldn't do anything, even if nobody's going to see. And also, I would say any case where like there's a way that they could find out afterwards. Meaning, let's say you would choose to go on the internet, to go on the computer, go on the internet, even though they're not home, they wouldn't see.
And then after Yom Tov, they go on these.
They could find out where you were. They open up. Oh, wait, that wasn't the last thing that was on before Yom Tov. Or they look it up and somehow they could see the HP address or something. There's a way they could find out, even if they wouldn't choose to do it. But let's say there's a possibility that in theory they could find out. So I would say that's still in the category of not something that they would know if nobody would find out. I would say that's in the category of maybe you could find out. And again, you never know what you might forget. What you just said, any of those kinds of situations where they might find out. Even if you don't think people are going to find out, maybe, you know, that would still be a problem. I would think, Lanias Dati, of doing it Bitsina, because maybe people would find out, even if at that moment nobody's going to see you. The question, would they talk about, and this was a discussion by Rav Moshe and a few others, if you're sure that no one will ever find out, not today, not tomorrow, not in a week, nobody's ever going to find out, sort of like your example there. So is there any tzad to make it in that situation, if you're sure nobody's ever going to find out? So it could be in that situation. So they quote in the Yotzei Kolchasa, he quotes one of the Talmidim of Moshe from Chicago, actually. I'm sure you know who he is. Rishmol first. You heard of him, right? He's the Rav Yagud in Chicago. You don't know who he is. You know who he is, right? You know who he is, right?
He's a Shiloh. They call him a Shiloh man.
Rav Rashi.
Rav Rashi. That's what they call him, really?
He's like the hotline.
That's what they should call him.
You got an answer in 5 seconds.
What hotline is this? What hotline is this?
It's like a hotline in Chicago. I can call it for a second.
Sorry, not Rav Rashi. Rav Rishon.
That's funny. Is the an Agud hotline or is like a general hotline?
I don't know who runs it.
Yeah, I think it's...
But your guy's name is Shiloh.
He's got a phone right on his
desk. Yeah, it's a Shiloh, and it's just like, boom.
Wow, that's amazing.
I'm sorry, Mother.
Most of them would be as accessible as that. That's amazing.
Very cool.
He's a big Talmud Chacham. Anyways, a Talmud Chacham of Moshe Feinstein. So he's quoted in Yom Tov Sheni Kolchaso as basically saying, if you're sure nobody's ever going to find out, then maybe it's okay. What's his basis for that? So number one, that thing we said before, but Sinah being only when people might find out. Number two, basically, it's based on the Mishnah Berurah, not here, but in Siman Tov Samachet, which is the halachos of Erev Pesach, believe it or not. Erev Pesach is a machlokas in Minhagim, whether we're machmer or malach on Erev Pesach or not. Not right. In the afternoon. The afternoon, again, if you didn't know this, beware. Yeah. Afternoon, everybody holds that you can't do malach on the afternoon of Erev Pesach. We're not talking about turning on lights. We're talking about like real malach, okay? Doing like real business or work or laundry or things like that.
Shaving.
What?
Yeah, also shaving, I remember.
And that's also a problem, yeah.
Just don't shave. Seems
No, okay, fine. Tell your wife that and tell your in-laws. It's fine.
I tried telling her that. Well, for me.
Listen, all right, fine. Just later. But, so that's in a whole other shoot. Whole other shoot you have to give. But there, they actually say in the morning, there's a machlokas. It's in the Mishnah Psacha. We look at the Mishnah Psacha in the fourth paragraph. That's what they talk about. In the morning of Erev Pesach, there were different minhagim at the time, whether to do malach or not. Today, everybody does. But you find in the Mishnah Berurah, they discuss, well, what if you go to a place where they don't do malacha, and you are from a place where they do malacha, and etc., etc. So in that discussion, the Mishnah Berurah actually says that if you go to a place where they don't do malacha, but you do malacha b'tzina, if you do it in a way where basically people are not going to find out, so he says, after lasosa b'tzina mamish, if it's possible to do b'tzina mamish, they're really below shiva dal anshe makom, without people finding out. So he says it's mutter in that context.
But that's for Erev Pesach.
Correct. So we're first is suggesting, I don't know if they said a halacha l'maisa, but it seems like there's a strong possibility, and in the Dirshu Mishnah Berurah, it seems like he passes this way l'halacha, that if you're really sure that people can't find out, and what we're first adds is that nobody ever will find out, even not now, but tomorrow night or whatever, when they go on the computer, they see where you were on the computer, anything like that, just maybe you're going to forget to turn off the, you know, the Google or whatever to exit out. So then maybe it could be Mako. That's what they would argue. Again, personally, I'm afraid because I just don't know. You never know if you make a mistake or you think nobody's going to find out, but maybe you don't realize that people are, whatever it is.
There's like a housekeeper in the house also. Everyone's going to think she did it.
Right. Yeah, but again, if she'll say I didn't do it, like, I just, you never know. I don't know. Personally, I'm not a fan.
If a detective would find out.
Personally, I'm not a fan. Okay, I'm not a fan. But again, a maker or a din in those situations, it could be that it's mutter in those situations. The question is, what qualifies as that type of situation? So before we give some examples, possible examples, I would tell you that my case with my brother, you know, this is Lanias Dati, and I understand that other rabbanim hold a little differently. Lanias Dati, I would say that cases like that, to drive off at 5 o'clock in the morning, even if you have a garage, whatever, personally I think is...
There's a risk of someone waking up, coming down, seeing what's...
You never know. And also, you know, it is possible.
Yeah,
somebody, right? It is possible.
Car missing.
Yeah, it is possible also that somebody could go out for a run at 5 o'clock in the morning. It's not likely, but it's possible. If there's a lot of Jews around, you never know. You never know. So to say that you could do that, again, it's based on the same idea, but I would say that that's just you never know. And if somebody asks, you know, some of the people, you know, that went to shul, and they're there with your family, and they say, oh, where are your kids, or whatever, and they don't realize, and they say, oh, they went for a little vacation. You know, they didn't realize there was a problem to tell them where they went. They say, like, oh, they're home, they're alive. Or they're going to come over, they'll stop by in the afternoon, they wanted to see them. And, oh, they're not here. Where'd they go? Oh,
they're stuck in their room.
Right. They're locked in, they can't get out. Right? Call the fire department. I just say, you understand what I'm saying? This is Lania's daddy, but I think it's very realistic that yes. You just never know what's going to happen. And once people find out, even if they understand, oh, you're from Eretz Yisrael, it's the same thing. You get the same feeling that, well, it's not so important anymore. They could just do whatever, and next time I'll ask them to do my malacha. Next time I'm going to be mekel, you know, whatever, not to drive off, but like, it just creates a certain atmosphere and environment, which I think is not conducive to Yom Tov Sheni, and I think is exactly the concept of Zilzul Yom Tov Sheni that Rosh Hashanah is on, we're about, he's worried about. Again, that's Lania's daddy. You can see obviously where I hold on this. I'm pretty clear about it. But again, you could find another Piskei Halacha. If you want to find a Psak to be a Worm Mekel, in some of those cases, you maybe could. I would say, again, it only has to be a case where you really are sure that nobody's going to find out. So you give your example of in the shower, which we'll talk about in a second, but let's assume for now going to the shower is Osir. Let's assume that's Osir. You take a shower in such a... You were in the bathroom in such a way which... I don't know. You have to figure out something the way that it was done. But let's say... That's just not a good example. Let's say what you said. Let's say that you were taking a shower as mutter on Yom Tov Sheni. And then you do it in such a way which is Osir, but they would never know. Okay? They would never know how you put the... You know, how you squeeze your hair.
You dried off.
Yeah, exactly. How you dried off. That's really the question. It's schita. Let's say they would never know how you dried off.
They all see your hair not wet.
I'm sorry about that. Right. Not a shirt.
So again, you could say they would cover the back. Right. They tell it's wet, the shirt is wet, right? I don't know. You could say maybe they would walk in on you in the middle of the shower. That almost never happens. You know, I don't think that happens. So, or if the shower curtain is also... I could hear that case might be much better. Okay, that, again, maybe just l'chumra if you want to be machmer, just for the sake of being machmer, you could be machmer, but I could hear that case might be mutter. Okay, I could hear a case like that would be, you know, in my mind, the most limited case that I would be willing to say would be okay in that situation, that nobody would ever find out, nobody would ever know which way you did it. One other point in terms of that's also important to keep in mind, okay, now if you have questions, you can ask about this, the malacha issue. We have a ton more things to discuss and not so much time, but we'll try. Is the following. Okay, the Mishnah Berurah, if you look here, has the following case in Sifkot and Yud Gimel. Okay? Look at the Sifkot and Yud Gimel. So here he says, right in the middle, the third line, or second or third line in Sifkot and Yud Gimel, he says, Kasuba Poskim. Okay? V'nei Eretz Yisrael, Shabo L'chutz L'aretz. Okay? Our case. V'dato Lachzor. Okay? He wants to go back. V'chal Yom Tov Sheni B'Erev Shabbos. This actually is true. This is our relevant for us. This is not this year. We have
Chal Yom Tov Sheni Be'er Shabbos. That happens this year also.
Somewhere.
No, Yom Tov Sheni is
for the last days of Pesach. Yom Tov Rishon. Yom Tov Rishon falls on Shabbos. Okay. Do we need? No, we still need it though because we still need. No, you need it either way. No, you're right. in our case this year, we need an Erev Tav Shoen, both in Chutz Laretz and in Eretz Yisrael, I think. And even here, we have Yom Tov Shvi Shel Pesach, and we have Shabbos. So even for us, we still need Erev Tav Shoen in order to be able to prepare on Friday afternoon for Shabbos. The question he's talking about is you have a 3-day Yom Tov. Okay, you have Thursday's Yom Tov, Friday is Yom Tov Sheni, and Shabbos is Shabbos. So in Chutz Laretz, they need an Erev Tav Shoen. But for an Eretz Yisrael, you don't need an Erev Tav Shoen because Friday is a regular day. What is the story for a Ben Eretz Yisrael in Chutz Laretz? Does he need to use an Erev Tav Shoen in order to be able to cook on Friday afternoon? Look what he says. Look what he says. He says, Ein sarach la'ariv eruv etav shilin. A Ben Eretz Yisrael does not need to use an Erev Tav Shoen, and he doesn't need to make one, even if he's by himself. B'nei shu davar shabit sinah. What does it mean, davar shabit sinah?
The Erev Tav Shoen is in public.
Right, so maybe you could understand this a little differently.
Everyone always asks, what is it? We have to finish it.
So I'll tell you the way they understood it here, and you could argue about this. You could say this means anything which is B'tzinah is mutter, but the way they understood it is the following, is that something which is Erev Tav Shoen is a Darash B'tzinah because of the fact that when somebody does Malach, you'll never know if they made an Erev Tav Shoen or not. Meaning, if a Ben Eretz Yisrael does Malach on Friday afternoon, okay, so anybody who sees him could just say, oh, he did an Erev Tav Shoen. They wouldn't realize. They didn't even know if he was a... Let's say they didn't even know it was from Eretz Yisrael. They thought it was from Chutz Laretz. They would never know if he did it or not. They would
looking for the next day.
Yeah. So based on that, what they say is the following. Okay, this is mentioned in the Dir Shem Mishnah Berurah here, and also in Yom Tov Sheni Kol Chasa. If you have examples of malacha where even a Ben Chutz Laretz could do it, there would be a permitted way to do it, so then it's mutter for Ben Eretz Yisrael to do it even in an usher way. I'll give you one example, and maybe you guys can think of more. Okay. One example that gives a certain kind of muktzah. Let's say you have something which is muktzah. So muktzah. Let's say, what did you say? So that's something everybody could see. I'll give you a better example. Let's say that you have muktzah, something which is like a plant or something like that. So a plant or a rock, where if you designate it for Shabbos, you could use it on Shabbos.
So no one would know if you had designated it.
Exactly.
If
nobody knows you designated it for Shabbos, so then maybe a Eretz Yisrael could move that kind of muktzah on Shabbos, because anybody would just think, oh, well, he doesn't, even if they thought he was from Chutz Laretz, they would say he designated it for Shabbos. Okay. That would be one thing that you could what you could do.
You can move it on Shabbos. How can you move it on Shabbos?
Because if you designated it before Shabbos,
if you have a rock that you say I need this rock for Shabbos.
Meaning on Yom Tov Sheni, Ben Eretz Yisrael could move it
on Yom Tov
Sheni because somebody else could have said, well, even if he's from Chutz Laretz, he designated it before Shabbos as something that he wants to use. For Yom Tov, sorry,
that's okay.
That's something you want to use. Okay, I apologize. That's what he meant. So according to that, any example where there is a permissible way of doing something, and you chose to do a baser, that might be mutter. So if you give your example, the shower could be showers in that category. I mean, it could be because there are many posts that say, in certain situations, with certain factors, maybe if you're hot or you're sweating, whatever, maybe there are ways to allow taking a shower, maybe with lukewarm water, or again, depending on how you hold. So one could argue that certainly, for Ben Eretz Yisrael to take a shower in a certain way, that some would say, oh, well,
do we hold by that?
Something like that. So then I think it's mutter.
So we hold because you get
the
shower.
Question is, if in your community everybody's machmer, nobody would ever take a shower on Yom Tov Sheni. That's the only question. If that were true, then maybe not. But if you say it's not clear, some say yes, it depends on the situation. You could get a hetter if you want, anything like that, I would say. Personally, I would think that those cases would be mutter. Okay.
So someone like, let's say someone in the family has a hetter to have cold showers or something.
Right.
And then you could take...
Cold showers is probably even more makeup than hot showers.
Okay. Well,
cold shower is even more makel, because then you don't even have a question of a whole nefesh for heating up the water.
Can you do a hot shower? Then if someone in the family, Yom Tov Sheni, has...
So then, I'm not sure.
Someone can easily find out if the hot shower or not.
That's what you think. But sometimes when you walk in the bathroom after a hot shower, you'll see there's a little bit of steam on the mirror.
That's easy for someone
to... Right, correct. So that's why I would be hesitant. Unless you tell me that some people in the community or in the family already are making on hot showers when they need to, which may not be every time, but it might be, oh, well, if they're really hot, or maybe if it was 3 days they could make, also in 2 days maybe you also could make, you have to figure out, it's hard to say. But if there are studs that some might say at some point that maybe you could make, I would say that it's much for better itself to make in that situation. Because again, you're not really being you're not being over an isser that they couldn't do. It just maybe in the situation they could do it would be more limited than the situation you could do it. You understand? But it's not absolute isser. Another interesting example of that. Okay, this is not so clear. I would never do this, but just tell you that there are some posts, including maybe Rav Moshe has this discussion. Yom Tov Sheni Kol Chasa discusses this as well, and in Igros Moshe and Chelam Dam Simon Kuf Dalad, can you turn on lights? After everything we just said. So if you ask me, I would say, of course it's us, sir.
So many lights have timers, David.
Hold on, that's fine. So Shlomo Zalman Urbach in Yom Tov Sheni Kol Chasa, he says it's us, sir. Just like every other Issa Durabanan, and this might be a derisa, but according to most posts, Kim Tonyan Lights probably Durabanan, for many, whatever reason it is, it's all Machlokas. He says it's Osser. You can't do that just like everything else. If you ask me, I think that makes the most sense for a lot of reasons. Okay. However, you should be aware that in terms of this issue, there are some poskim that are maybe Mikil. So the Yom Shani Kilchasan and Rav Moshe in that discussion basically say, well, since it's only an Isser Drabbanan, according to most, Isser of Molid, again, it's Machlokas, what electricity is, but according to many poskim, it's only an Isser Drabbanan. So we said before, there could be some people hold that if it's Bitsina, maybe it's Mutter, which again, I don't know if that would do it for your entire household, but if it's in a personal, like in a personal room, maybe it's in some poskim say it's Mutter. And by the way, I forgot to mention where the Shiva Halili is Mikil if it's not actual Malacha involved. He said it's from Muksa, you're allowed to be Mikil. I apologize, that was a before point. He mentions from Muksa because it's not actual Malacha. It's like an Isser Drabbanan, not based on a Malacha. He says you can make on all muktas, not just the case that I gave you, but all muktas you can make on. Other muktas are machmir, but so you have some poskim that say you can make it. In this case, though, this is a different issue, because here this might be based on an Isra molid, which is, again, maybe sort of malacha, I don't know. Whatever. Anyway, they basically say maybe there's a possibility that it's drabbana, maybe you make it based on that. Number two, what Josh mentioned is that also today timers are so common that anybody who sees the light go on could have said, oh, well, you know, the light was on a timer. Do they mean that you should turn it on when everybody's watching you? Probably not, I don't think. But if you turned it on when everybody was in shul, or the other way around, you turned it off at night when nobody was looking, if they would have said, oh, well, the timer turned it off, so then they say maybe that's mutter.
Wow.
So again, if you ask me, Alanias, I don't like it. You know why? It's the same idea as everything before. Mm-hmm. Well, the guy, you know, again, maybe they don't care, they know you're from Eretz Yisrael, but I didn't set the timer then. The timer wasn't supposed to go off then. I don't want, you know, anything could happen.
It's at a strange time.
Yeah.
If you're the one that set the timers in the house all the time.
Okay, so yeah, if you set the timers and they don't know when, but I don't know. See, in Eretz Yisrael, you can always look. I mean, I guess there also, you can look at the timer switch to see when the timer's supposed to go on and when it's supposed to go off. Yeah. I just don't like it, okay? Again, you can see I'm very picky about these things.
Who is that?
It's also, if the lights start turning on at strange times, like a timer generally,
exactly.
Lunch it'll turn
right.
Like,
exactly. So maybe he would say, oh, it has to be a certain time. So again, I think it's just a bad idea to get started with these things. Like you're going to run into trouble. And even if you don't run into trouble, you could run into trouble, in which case it's still a problem. The Makoros, again, I was quoting, is Ikros Moshe and Chilav Dalad and Orachayim Suman Kuf Dalad. Again, I'm not sure if he says, I'm not sure if he's Machriya 100% that it's Mutter. He says maybe it's Mutter. And the Yom Shani Kilchaso also, somewhere in the Sefer, where he talks about these questions about Malacha, so he mentions also this possibility. They mentioned here also, Dir Shem Mishnah Berurah. He says here, he says Yitachin. It's possible that maybe it's Mutter. Okay. And he says, I think it's left as a suffix. Okay, it's not 100% clear that it's Mutter. So again, because of that also, it's not so clear they want it to be Mekil here. Again, I'm not so in favor. Okay, but again, if you want to look for another Pesach, it could be. You could find some that would pass an Elohim life that this is Mutter. If you do it carefully, but Sinah when nobody's looking, and maybe there was a timer, etc. Okay. Let's see, I've got 15 minutes here before I have to go. Let's see, I'm going to cover in the next 15 minutes. Any more questions on Malacha before we go on? There's a lot of stuff you could talk about, by the way. I'm going to look in Yom Shani Kilchaso for more svaras and more ideas, but any specific questions you have that we didn't mention? Okay. Alright, after Yom Tov you'll come back. You'll have more questions, yeah. I'm sure. In retrospect, you'll figure out
Yom Tov. I'm going to chain me 5 questions.
Good. I like that. That's good. Okay. On your cell phone when nobody's looking, right? Okay.
Great. Just talking to myself.
Right. Walk outside the Yishuv. Go into downtown London where there's no Jews. I guess there could be Jews there also.
I guess you could walk outside.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I'm really desperate to use your phone.
Right.
So walk like 10 miles outside the
tour. Right. The problem is, like I said, there could be Jews there also. So again, we had the same discussion as before. Maybe not from Jews. There are not from Jews all over London, I think, right? There's a lot of Jews everywhere. Okay. Yeah, no idea, right? Ask your wife.
I'm from there.
Ask your wife. Okay.
If I wanted to do
that. Is there any swagger without Jews?
West side.
South side, maybe, no?
South side.
South side. Yeah. You don't want to go there. That's <I'm> dangerous. Okay.
Right. Be cloth never do it. Okay.
Right.
Well, see, it's not.
Okay. Great.
I don't know.
Let's go on here. Does this open this window? Or?
From on top.
I can't reach
from
it.
On high.
Let's see.
Did you open the door?
It's open the door, yeah. It's a little hot in here. Cross space. Okay. Next question. All right. So, can you recite brachas on Yom Tov? Okay, since we already discussed before, I mean, are you supposed to say all the brachas? The answer is no. Okay, it's a bracha levatala for you, unless you have like a salvation, or maybe ba'atanya. Okay, it's mamish pal. It's bracha levatala. There's nothing to talk about. You can't do it.
Even to be multi someone.
So
the
answer is no, because
right,
you're not chayav. Correct. So what does that affect? So let's make sure we get our brachas straight. I'm not going to give you all the examples, but some of the main ones. Okay, kiddush. You can say baruch pragafen, but you can't say the brachas are like makadish yisrael bazman or anything like that.
So okay? Daytime's not a problem.
Daytime is not a problem. Correct. Yeah, you could say the Kiddush. The only Shabbat is there. There's a machlo, meaning, right. There are some achronim that want to pilpul that maybe there's a special din of Kiddush just by saying the bracha, that maybe that din you wouldn't be yotze. I think a brisker chakira like that. So I guess right, yeah. I guess it, I mean, maker din would seem that probably you probably could yotze somebody for kiddush, just because it's bar priya gafen. But you're right, I mean, you could still argue well because there's also a chil drabban of kiddush, so that chil drabban of kiddush you weren't yotze. I'd say best to avoid it. Okay, best to avoid that. In terms of tefillah and shul, of course, we know the story. It can be obviously, you know, obviously you're not going to make it recite the Yom Tov Shemona Esrei. You can't, you know, haftarah, anything like that. That you cannot do, obviously. And Yom Tov Sheni, Yom Tov, one second. Mm-hmm. And Yom Tov Sheni. So if it's you can still go to shul, and for you it's Chol HaMoed, and then it's Yom Tov Sheni. So Pesuk of the Zimra and Shemona Esrei for Shacharis obviously will be different for you, but Musaf is the same, and Kriyas HaTorah is pretty similar.
Musaf's
okay,
different.
Hal is the same. Musaf is almost the same. It's Kedusha.
Is Hal the same?
What?
Is Hal the same?
Instead of the
same
day,
right.
So you can say same day.
Right,
it's the same.
You leave, right, it's the same. Right, right, right.
Both days.
No, so,
so what do you do about that?
For the Amud, for most.
Right.
No,
so from Musaf, you probably
because it, I don't know. Is that only on Sukkot? Is that only on Sukkot where you have the day for every day? It's different.
Right.
I was actually
said by Musaf. It's not though.
I was asked someone on the second day where it wasn't for me, but the rabbi asked.
Right.
Passing, you're allowed to Musaf.
So that makes sense. Yeah, I mean, something makes sense. For Musaf, it should be fine. For Shacharis, you should not do because you're davening.
No, but putting away the sefer. No, that's the same. Putting away the sefer Torah.
Yeah, the same thing. That's not a big deal.
My question is for
you. No,
you don't think it'll be Kedusha because you said Kedusha. You said Naritzcha or, you know, Kesser.
Unless you're Sfarad and you're saying Kesser.
But yeah, Kesser anyway. Since you're Sfarad, it's Kesser. I'm Chol HaMoed Pesach. That's not a big deal. I would say it's probably fine, which is what you said anyway. Yeah.
For your private Shemona Esrei, though, should you say the 2 days? Like in Chutzlars, or should you only do one because you know which day it actually is?
2 days.
You know how you're supposed to say
so
in Chutzlars, you're not sure which day it is? Also, Pesach.
Right.
Also, no, Pesach is the same thing every day.
Exactly.
No,
you
say
by Yom
this,
by Yom
this.
It's the same
thing for every day.
Because
only on
Sukkot it's
different.
Right, on Yom Tov Rishon,
what do you do?
Sorry, Yom Tov Sheni will be a question. Yom Tov Sheni, for if you're in Chutzlars, you would say by Yom Rishon and the Kravtem. And if you're in Eretz Yisrael, you would just say the Kravtem.
So it's okay for you to say the extra part?
I think so. Again, that's a good question. I would have probably actually look more, but it's still, it seems like it's not such a big deal. Say the extra Pesukim, Yom Rishon and Musaf. I would say probably fine, though I could hear that maybe it might be a question. I'll have to look, okay? If you think it might be the Maisa, if you send me an email to remind me to look, I'll look. Or you can look yourself. You want to look at Yom Shinkel also. It's a good question, because if you say the Yom Rishon, it's not really Yom Rishon for you. Again, I would hear that probably it's okay. But again, maybe I should look again, just to be sure. If you want to email it to remind me, please do, because I would love to look, but I'll probably forget. So please do me a favor by reminding me, because it's a good question. I always like more good questions. So I have to make sure to look it up. Okay, so that's a good point there. Your own chol davening, you definitely should daven, but just do it quietly, okay? If you do it silently, so nobody can hear you, and you keep your seat covered.
Like?
So I would say it's probably better not to do that.
Wow, well,
you guys do it for
if we don't say tachin, you don't do it. For us.
For Slach 1? Really?
Chabad, we don't do it.
That.
Also for Arvi.
No.
Anytime there's no tachin, you don't do it.
I didn't know that. Very interesting. You know, the whole thing.
Doing us a sham, we've got to do enough of those. Like,
I think that's true. The whole thing is not like in the halacha. It's like in the, you know, in some machron.
You probably say, like, gave me tissue out of your pocket.
Why would it be any different from halacha? I mean, people see that you're going like this. It's the same thing.
Oh, no, but how many people
this
like shot this afternoon?
It's going to be classic.
That guy
makes that
thing.
Right.
The guy going.
Right. Right. That's a really big mistake, though. A tachonin I could hear, but three brokers and you still don't realize what they was. Alright, now the truth comes out.
It's autopilot.
Hold on a second, just a second. Anyway, so personally, I would say probably better not to. It's, the whole thing is not, it's only a minhag, it's not even a mission of Ruhr to go like this. It's just like because you want to do vidui. I would say avoid it just because you don't want to cause any questions whatsoever. Kriya, what did you ask?
Can you read it forever?
So the Kriya Satorah, so here's the problem.
So now you have to have a cube in order to, it's the same thing as
so, right. So basically, it seems like it would probably be okay because of that issue.
It's different, but you have four aliyahs and they
so
have five.
The problem. I think that's the problem. The problem is that you have more aliyahs than they have more aliyahs than you do. They have five aliyahs for Yom Tov,
okay.
And you have
and
four aliyahs for Yom Tov.
You're not supposed to be
so that probably you should not do. What you probably could do is the first four aliyahs you probably could read if that was relevant. And probably even more relevant is you can get an aliyah for the first four aliyahs at least. Maybe not the fifth one, but for the first four aliyahs you probably can get an aliyah.
Yeah, I got another
okay.
Last time.
Yeah, so that's...
and the third.
Right.
Last rabbit.
So that in Yotoshen Kilchaso, he says Mefurash. I think everybody agrees that you can get an aliyah. That's not even a Shiloh. Okay.
My uncle call you up?
What?
My uncle call you up?
Maybe.
He's got one?
Probably.
Interesting.
Usually
Haftarah you shouldn't say. Okay, Haftarah because the Haftarah is not forbidden Eretz Yisrael. That's not something you
take
would
say.
Take a nap. Take a nap, right. You can listen, but you shouldn't say it. Okay. Do you have to go to shul at all? So that's also, by the way, it's machlokas.
It's like 40.
So it's machlokas al achron. I think the pre chadash talks about this and a few others. I don't remember exactly, and I didn't have a chance to look at this part in the Yerusha Mishnah Berurah here.
Wow,
if I remember correctly, so the following is Dani's day. So Yom Tov Sheni, of like the second day of Yom Tov, you probably should go to Shul.
During Chol Hamoed.
Because during Chol Hamoed, a lot of things are the same anyway. You can gain a lot of the aspects even for yourself. On the last day, this year is not really relevant because it's Shabbos anyway. So for you, you know, maybe it's different in terms of the Yom Tov Tefillah and
Most
the Musaf.
Will be different also.
Correct, but you can still gain the Yom Tov Tzibur and some. You gain certain aspects of it that would be, you know, it's still probably helpful to go to Shul. But on a regular whole day, there's a shout about putting on tefillin, and the whole discussion is it better to go to Shul and put on tefillin at a different time, or is it better to put on tefillin and make recite the whole davening by yourself? And then if you want to, if you're comfortable, you can go to Shul afterwards. What did you say?
I think there's a shayla this year on that.
So right, as I said, this year is not really a shayla, so I guess we don't even have to get into that.
Question, though, for, like, let's see, Yom Tov Sheni, though. People don't show up to davening first or second morning.
Right.
It's legitimate. Oh, they're so tired from this day, or they oversize. It's legitimate. Everyone thinks that.
So this is what they say. So the Achorim said, I think it's the Pre-Chadash, who says that if you're an important person, people will realize that you're not in shul. Okay, they'll wonder. They'll start talking about it. He says you should go to shul.
Because also, there's so many different minyanim now in every shul that someone's like, oh, he probably davened that.
Exactly.
Oh, he probably
so
davened that.
That is probably the case.
What about,
if you don't think it'll be recognized not there, then you don't have to go.
People barely know.
Right, so then I don't think it's a problem.
What about
if you want to, you can, but I don't think you have to go. Yeah.
They have minyanim that are like B'nai Eretz Yisrael minyanim.
That
sounds very problematic.
I always
I've heard them.
But however, Seder Vavensal said that for those minyan, I asked specifically about Kafot. No, it says
problem. Wait, he's talking about in Chutz Laretz or here?
In Chutz Laretz. I
was told for Pesach.
What? It's still, it's not in a Horish, it's not in Sinai at all.
It's not in Sinai. It's a Dover Shiva Far Hesha.
It's a Shabbos.
Fine
told me, like, there's a second, there's a separate minion in London for, like, the Eretz Yisrael, so you should go.
Wow.
So if he's saying it, I was just,
I don't know, that's
It sounds like.
If you ask me, I would say
unless
no.
It's kept very secret
also,
and it's like
we're
not
gonna miss a whole. We're missing a whole parsha, by the way.
Right. So that's the reason.
Last year,
but there's a way around it. Though. I'll tell you what they can do. Hold on. Yeah.
I went to a B'nai Eretz Yisrael reading. I don't remember if they announced it, but
that's
somehow we're
that's different, though. I'll tell you why it's different.
Don't do hakafos.
Okay.
Well, I'll do next.
So I'll tell you the story like this. Okay. He says here. Here, I'll read the whole thing. Here. He says, "Lugabe arichat minyan l'tfilat chol b'yom tov sheni l'vnei eretz yisrael nimtzayim b'chutz laretz katab shud hartzvi that Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank she'asur lasos kain it's asur v'chein das v'shlomo zalman Orbach hagar of Yitzchak Yaakov Weiss I think is the Minchas Yitzchak or yeah I think the Minchas Yitzchak and Rav Yashav all quoted yom tov sheni kilchaso and Parag Beis Halar Ayo Gimel it's asur u'mibnei shemizel lo nagu me'olam heter v'yesh b'kach mishum zilzul b'yom tov sheni." That's my big issue. Zilzul Yom Tov Sheni. It's zilzul. Even if it's private, you close the shutters, whatever it is, I think it's a bad idea, and that's what they're saying here also. So it could be they say somebody says it's okay, which I would understand, but I don't like it. Okay, I really don't like it because it's not, if people know about it, it's not Patsina. And that's different, by the way, than B'nai Chutzlaretz been here in Eretz Yisrael. Because for that, okay, fine, it's not, you know, as long as you don't offend anybody here, everybody knows about it, it's fine. But there, because of this issue of zilzul Yom Tov Sheni, it's much more chamer, if you ask me, and that's what they're all saying here. What you could do, and maybe this is what they mean, is to have daven with everybody normally, and then in the afternoon, let's say for mincha, then you have a B'nai Eretz Yisrael reading, like with mincha at Shabbos, where they read the whole parsha. So that, and technically you could do it. It's not normal, but technically it's allowed. Or if you do it, let's say afterwards, you know, afterwards everybody gets together and they have a kriya. But it's not an actual tefillah, you understand? So that's already much different. I think that already could be allowed. If you do it as part of mincha, maybe yes. If you do it as part of mincha with the bracha, that would probably be okay.
Yeah,
which again, technically, Ben Chutzes could do that also. They don't want to do it, and you don't need to do it. But technically, if you did it's not usher. It's not right. It's not usher. So I would think that's okay, and I think that's what people do. I think in places where they have these kind of things, my impression is that that's more what's makubal than sort of like a chakras, would you say?
So many places they do in LA, they used to have the biggest Israeli minion, like, of people who
it's
are actually Chicago.
Right, I understand. I think it's a real problem. I'd be curious if you find out when you're there that there was some rabbi that passed that was mutter, I'd like to know who they are, if you could tell me.
I'm
curious.
Fine, he'll know.
Okay.
Because he told me.
In England, we're talking about.
Yeah.
Right, okay, so if you can find, I would very much like to know. Again, I'm not saying that nobody would say it, I just don't think it makes sense based on everything. And again, just look here in Yom Tov, it's Mefurash that these big posts said it was awesome. So. Would you say?
Yeah.
So again, if you want to find somebody who's matzah, probably they need somebody who's like a big, you know, a big posek to the. Again, Yom Tov Sheni Kilchaso is where it is, but you can look here also. It's in Ha'ara, number 20. Number 20 here. It's a 21. It's a really long one. 21 here. I'm not soon to tell you about. Okay, I really need to leave soon. Very, very quickly. Okay, in terms of wearing Shabbos clothes, you probably should, because that's something which people will see. That's for Hesya. That's mentioned in the Mishnah Berurah and Sif Katan Yud Gimel, the one we saw before. He says there also.
That's,
he says you should wear exactly right. That same idea. Tzrichim lubosh malbusha yom tov, neshu dover shal bar Hesya. And that's true, by the way, even in the house also, your family will see, even if they know, but still, it's not a good, it's not a nice avirah. Okay, it's not, I think it's not appropriate.
What are you supposed to do?
What about second
fill-in? Like,
okay. Go. So you know what? Maybe we'll have to finish this at some point.
Where do you hide?
Yeah. Okay, my wife was not going to be happy if I come, if I make, let's do another 4 minutes, and then maybe the rest of this, I would like to continue this at some point, because there's a lot of stuff here which is important that we didn't do. Let's see. Okay, let's deal with your questions, and we'll see if there's any time left. What was your question again?
This is tefillin. Mine was second night seder. What can you
okay,
do?
Fine.
You
where do you put okay, so in terms of tefillin. So in terms of tefillin, so most posts say that you definitely, because it's a chiyuv d'oraisa, you are supposed to put on tefillin. But this year, this is not relevant, because this year, Yom Tishrei is not relevant on this Shabbos. And a Chol HaMoed, anybody from Eretz Yisrael, anyway, is not putting on tefillin, probably, because we don't put on tefillin on Chol HaMoed.
Right? Some people have the minhag.
Even if you made Aliyah?
That I don't
you know. Could, but Sinna,
I don't know, I don't
okay,
do anything.
If it's not this year.
About the davening thing, yeah. Mishnah Berurah says, at least for Ben Chutzar, yeah. Who's coming to Israel.
Right. So that's not for now. Okay, you're right.
Yeah.
But that's
I'm saying I always went to the Inbal.
I'm saying, yeah. So here, many people are making on Eretz Yisrael, but that's not for now.
Yeah.
We'll discuss it a different time. Anyway, in terms of tefillin, so again, because it's a chiyuv d'oraisa, so everybody agrees that if you're in Chutz Laaretz, you have to put on tefillin on a yom chol, on Yom Tov Sheni. However, the question is, how do you do it? So the answer is for sure before the tzina, definitely absolutely at home, in private, with the door closed, for sure. But again, because it's not malacha, it's tefillin and it's a chiyuv d'oraisa, you basically have to.
My mom walked out, I kept saying, don't come, she just walked in, go into the fridge,
wow.
Back and forth.
So maybe do it at a time whenever he goes to shul or something like that.
Well,
the machlokas they have, as I mentioned before, is it better to go to shul and at least catch some portion of tefillah b'tzibur and then put on tefillin separately afterwards when you're not davening? Or is it better to put on tefillin and say the whole davening on your own at home, and then afterwards, if you want to go afterwards to shul for whatever reason to see everybody, or because people are going to know you're missing, or because you want to hear kedusha, or something like that, you better go afterwards without your tefillin on. So this is a machlokas opposed to. I don't know who says what.
Marks too.
Wear long sleeves.
Right, wear long sleeves.
On your
yeah,
hair.
Okay.
And then comb your hair out.
The hat.
Right. So if you ask me, I think I'm more on the side of saying it's better to do it at home. I think just practically, it's better. It's for a lot of reasons. It's easier if you daven at home. Put on tefillin at home for your tefillin, and afterwards you want to go to shul for whatever
but
part of tefillin you connect.
Said,
yeah, what do you say?
Daven, put tefillin, daven, go shul.
Okay, I think that's the more accepted psak of what most people do, and I think it makes sense for a lot of reasons. That's what I recommend. Definitely don't put on tefillin at shul whatever you do. Okay, that you for sure should not do. I'm gonna try to do if nobody else is around. If you're upstairs, tell them. They can know what you're doing, but do your best to make it not something that people find out about. Okay. Good. What was the other question about second night seder?
Yeah.
Okay, so this I did not have a chance to look here if he talks about it. In Yom Tov Sheni Kilchas, if I remember correctly, oh, here it is. Hold on. I got it here. Okay. I'll read it here and then I'll tell you if this is what I was going to say or not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he quotes what I was going to say. Lugave Leil HaSeder Yom Tov Sheni. Okay, this is in footnote number 23 in the Mishnah Berurah of the Dirshu, and it's quoted also in Yom Tov Sheni Kilchas. Okay. Kasav Achai Adam, Shim Nimza Ben Eretz Yisrael Becher Bifnei Atzmo, Lo Yarach Has HaSeder Klal. If he's by himself, he shouldn't make a Seder at all. Ach im nimtza im bnei chutz laaretz, but if he's with family or doing chutz laaretz, yeshi yumahem, he should sit with them. Ach lo yivarech shum bracha, he shouldn't make any bracha. Chutz mi birkas bray priag gafen ala kosar yishon vashlishis. You can say bray priag gafen on your first cup and your second and your third cup. Okay, v'yachav lister benes hakosas acheres, and you can chav into the pot of the other kosas as well. But for Ashkenazim that usually make a bracha on all four kosas, that you shouldn't do because that's based on the fact that there's a chiyuv of arba kosos, which for you there is not.
Should you just say in between?
What's that?
Shouldn't you just say a bracha in between, like a bracha chana?
No, you could just have kavanah. The first one will cover the second one. And he says, look at Nor Pratim, Rav Moshe has a tshuva in Or Chaim Chel Gimel Sun Ayin Beis, and Rosh Lazan Orbach and Yom Tshrein Kilchaso, Per Gimel. Again, I don't have time to get into it now, and I didn't have a chance to go look over it. Basically, halacha l'maaseh, what most people say is that you probably do not have to be at your family seder, but if they're going to wonder, they're going to get upset, or and if you also want to be there, because it's nice to be there, so then it's absolutely no problem for you to be there.
Like, let's say some families they go around, they read in a circle, they
right.
Read yeah. Can you read a paragraph?
I don't see why not.
People do Kiddush one by one.
I don't think so. I think it's better not to. Why?
What, even
it's
if it's in the middle of Magi? Because it's fun to see for you to
meet. Child. The problem is maybe you have to be, there's machlok for this also, maybe there's a chiyuv. That Bar Chiyuva has to be the one to say Sivu Tzvitz Rhymes. If you say it in a Bar Chiyuva, maybe not. I would hesitate. I would say it's better not to. Though, again, if it's going to cause a lot of machlokas, there probably are some to say it's okay. Bottom line, it's probably a good idea. It's nice to go to your family seder, but just be careful that you're not saying Asher Kishim Sam Sam Al Achilas Matzah. You're not saying Al Achilas Marer.
Pretend to say
it
out loud.
Kiddush.
No, say what's up. Say what's up.
I didn't even eat
matzah.
Yeah.
So obviously, you don't have to, but you can eat matzah. You can eat matzah. Just make a smaller shear. You can earn enough to eat matzah. Whatever you want. But the point is, as long as you're not saying the brachos, it's nice to participate, but you can do whatever you want with it. I mean, do the maror, do the matzah, don't do it. If you don't want to look, you know, conspicuously different than everybody else, then eat the matzah, but a smaller shear. You know, whatever it is. We're keeping fun. Anyways, actually, we should be zoche that we should keep Yom Tov Sheni properly in the chutzpah, but not here, and everybody else from there should come here, and only people are there. Okay.
Okay, I put this on Google Drive and send.
In terms of reciting Havdalah, there's a big machlokas also in the poskim about if you should do so and how to do it. Most poskim hold that you indeed are supposed to recite Havdalah because you are a Ben Eretz Yisrael, and a Ben Eretz Yisrael, Yom Tov is over after the first day. So even though it's something which is a little bit different than what everybody else is doing in Chutz La'aretz, it's definitely something which is recognizable and looks different. However, because it's a mitzvah, most poskim say that you should do so anyway. That includes the Pa'as HaShulchan, the Kaf HaChaim here in Siman Tav Tzadi Vav, Sifkatan Lamed Vav, Shlomo Zalman Orbach, the Shevet HaLevi, and another poskim quoted in Yom Tov Sheni Kil Chaso. They certainly say that one should do so privately, meaning you shouldn't do it in front of other people that are residents of Chutz La'aretz, because of the fact that it's not considered something which is appropriate for there, but because it's a mitzvah, one should do so nevertheless. The post can point out this is different than the question of making a minyan here in Eretz Yisrael on Yom Tov Sheni. That's also something which should be done privately, but there the issue is that it's done publicly. So I'm sorry, take that back. I was referring to Bnei Eretz Yisrael in Chutz La'aretz on Yom Tov Sheni, which, as we mentioned before, many posts hold is a problem because of the fact it's supposed to be public, meaning even if it's done privately, but the fact that it's with 10 people automatically makes it a davar shebefar hesya, something public, which is more problematic. But here, Havdalah, by nature, according to most posts, is considered to be something private. It doesn't need to have a minyan, and therefore it's not as problematic to do so if it's done in private. Rav Moshe, in Eros Moshe, may disagree. In Orach Chaim Chil Gimel Simon Ayin Bet, he seems to possibly say that maybe you shouldn't recite Havdalah at all. It's not so clear, but in Yom Tov Sheni Kil Chaso, they quote a number of his Talmidim, including Rav Ephraim Greenblatt and Rav Shmuel First, who both suggest that that's what he meant. And the idea seems to be, the way they explain it in Yom Tov Sheni Kil Chaso, is that even Havdalah may be something which is somewhat public, even though we said before most posts don't say that. Moshe, according to this, may be suggesting that Havdalah it could be something which is by nature possibly public, and therefore it should not be said at all. According to Rav Moshe, if that's what he means, then what you would say is basically do say Atachon Antanu, and maybe say Baruch HaMavdil, that I think he says in the Tshuva, but you wouldn't actually say the recitation of Havdalah on a cup of wine. What you should do instead is hear it from a Ben Chutz La'aretz on the next day. This year when Yom Tov is on Shabbos, at least the first day of Pesach is on Shabbos, so one perhaps could argue that Ben Eretz Yisrael could say it himself the next day, because for Shabbos you could say Havdalah for a couple days afterwards, but certainly you could hear from the Ben Chutz La'aretz without a problem. Now what do I do in terms of a candle? This year, the first day of Pesach is on Shabbos, and Motzei Shabbos is already Yom Tov Sheni. So Shabbos, of course, we know you require a candle, a ner, together with your Havdalah, which is not true for Yom Tov. So what do you do in this case? In Chutz La'aretz, we do yaknahaz. We have the whole series of things we do during Kiddush, which includes yayin, a Kiddush, ner, Havdalah, and zman. We say the whole thing is part of Kiddush, the ner, and shachianu, and Havdalah, which is hamavdil bin kodesh l'kodesh. It's a whole different story than somebody who's in Eretz Yisrael. So the question is, somebody who's in Eretz Yisrael, who's in Chutz La'aretz, what should he do? So, according to Rav Moshe, we mentioned before, he would say here also, do not recite a separate Havdalah anyway. He would say that you shouldn't do anything that day, and you just listen to the Ben Chutz La'aretz reciting Havdalah on the Motzei Yom Tov Sheni, which would be Sunday night. According to all the other poskim, though, that we mentioned before, they would say that really you should recite Havdalah together with the Ner and with everything else. Now, by the way, we could say as follows, that really for Ben Chutz La'aretz and Ben Eretz Yisrael, using a candle on Yom Tov Sheni and Motzei Shabbos is really pretty much the same. Both of them have the same idea of using a ner. So the question is, what would be the difference? And the answer is that for Ben Chutz La'aretz, because of the fact that you're not allowed to what's called du gram kibui, and you're not allowed to indirectly cause a flame to go out. So there's a bit of a question whether you're allowed to use two candles and put them together. Generally, the poskim say you shouldn't use your regular havdalah candle, but here we would say maybe to put two candles together, that is discussed. Many poskim feel that l'chatchila it's preferable not to do for a ben chutzlaretz because of the fact that in doing so one may indirectly cause one of the candles to be extinguished a little bit earlier than otherwise, and therefore generally it's not done, though there are some poskim that do allow it. So the question is for a ben eretz Yisrael, whether that would be permissible or not. So basically, many poskim hold that would be permissible to do for a ben eretz Yisrael, to put the two candles together, because of the fact that anyway in chutz lar some poskim are mekil, chatchila or machmir, but you know, for this type of issue, for a ben eretz Yisrael, it wouldn't be such a big deal. Again, keep in mind that a ben eretz Yisrael who's doing this is going to be doing it privately, not together with the rest of the whoever he's with in chutz lar'etz. In terms of the first flame being there, so the first flame should certainly be there already, meaning just like a ben chutz lar'etz also is not allowed to create a new fire on Yom Tov Sheni, or on Yom Tov Rishon for that matter, so too a ben eretz Yisrael also should not create a new fire for this purpose. He should do exactly what a ben chutz lar'etz would do, which is use an already existing flame. Right? Again, for a ben chutz lar'etz, they may use one already existing flame and make havdalah the ner bracha on that one flame, or they would have two flames next to each other, according to some opinions, and just do it on both together. And what we're saying now is that according to a ben eretz Yisrael, for a ben eretz Yisrael, so what they say in Yom Tov Sheni Kilchoso, is that it would be mutter to even take the two candles and put them together. But again, certainly one should not create a new flame for this purpose if one can help it. Meaning if you have an existing flame, you should do so. Let's say that you need to light a new fire. Let's say for whatever reason there is no existing flame there, and the ben chutz lar'etz won't be able to use a fire at all in this situation because he doesn't have one. So, or let's say you, for whatever reason you can't use the same one as the ben chutz lar'etz because he's somewhere else, and you're doing your havdalah privately and you can't get it back and forth, whatever the situation is, can you light a new fire if needed? So this is also a big machlokas. Some poskim hold, yes, if you need to, it's mutter. That's what Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach holds, that's what the Shevet HaLevi holds, that you would be allowed to light a new fire in this situation. And Rav Yashiv also quoted in Yom Tov Sheni Kilchoso, holds that you should not light a candle, because this is also like any other malacha that would be also for a ben Eretz Yisrael to do in Chutz Laretz. Here also, he shouldn't light a candle as well. Halacha L'maaseh said, try to think of this beforehand so that this machlokas does not arise, meaning before Yom Tov begins, try to think about and maybe even discuss with the people there, if you need to, what you can do to make sure that you do not have to start a new fire in order to be mekayim mitzvah of ner during havdalah, and then you can act accordingly later, either to put the fire together. Again, what you would do, what you could do as a ben eretz Yisrael, and the ben chutzlaretz could do this as well, is have one candle, one flame already lit, and then you take another flame and you put it next to it and you light them together. So again, a ben chutzlaretz, I take that back, a ben chutzlaretz should not do that because of the fact that we said that you shouldn't put the two flames together, l'chachila, but again, Ben Eretz Yisrael would be allowed to do that because of the fact that that's really a chumrah to begin with, and for Ben Eretz Yisrael, who actually is supposed to say havdalah with a ner, so that shouldn't be a problem. This year, just to conclude one last thing about this year, when Yom Tov Sheni of the last day of Pesach is on Shabbos, so we mentioned most of the things are the same between Chutz Laretz and Eretz Yisrael because it's Shabbos. In Eretz Yisrael, there's a whole question of whether you can eat kitnios on the last day on Shabbos that you have in your house already. But in Chutz Laretz, certainly that's not going to happen. In terms of, and certainly one should not do that. That's definitely something which would be something people could find out, could see, that in Chutz Laretz, so Ben Eretz Yisrael certainly should not eat kitnios, unless they're Sephardi, of course, do so. That's something that people would know if you're Ashkenazi or Sephardi. If you're Ashkenazi and people see you in kitnios, they're going to think something is wrong. In terms of Kriyas HaTorah, so Ben Eretz Yisrael is going to miss a parsha because in Chutz Laretz that will be the last day of Yom Tov, and in Eretz Yisrael we're already reading the next parsha. So Ben Eretz Yisrael should try to make it up in some form if he's able to. Either, again, we mentioned before, some people have Eretz Yisrael Minyanim at Mincha, will they read the whole next parsha? If not, you can read it yourself, do it at least as Shanai Mikra, if nothing else. And aside from that, because most posting hold the Kriyas HaTorah is a chiv of the tzibur, if you don't have a tzibur to listen to that parsha, because you're going to miss it, so there's not much else you can do other than read it as Shnai Mikra. So you wouldn't be obligated to spend 20 hours trying to figure out how to make a minyan. If there's no minyan available to hear the parsha, then you would be Potter.